Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning. And today my guest is Mastena Nazarian, an Alexander Technique teacher in Melbourne, Australia. She's also a musician. She does a lot of martial arts work. And she has a teaching practice that includes both musicians and other members of the public. And we're going to talk today about how the Alexander Technique can help improve your sleep quality. Mazena, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Robert.
So since this is a podcast aimed at the general public, I'm going to put you on the spot and ask if you could give our listeners a short definition or description of the Alexander Technique.
Okay, the Alexander Technique is practical method for solving problems that should really be experienced so that the person can find out what it can offer them. Now, it's been known to help with back pain and repetitive strain, but we bring to learning the Alexander Technique our whole self, so our past experience, our sort of future aspirations, and rather than me give a definitive description of what it is or what it isn't, I encourage your listeners to seek the experience itself to find out.
So we could say that it is a learning process, right?
Yeah, it's a learning process, relearning how to do less in movement and thinking and achieve better results.
Okay. Now, typically, people come for Alexander lessons because of things like back pain or neck pain or performance limitations in terms of like musicians or actors or dancers, people who want to improve the quality of their performance or play without being in pain or that sort of thing. And typically the kind of process that they are taught is using their conscious minds to, you could say, redirect themselves or redirect the energies in their body. And so I guess the obvious question is, given that a lot of sleep is not exactly conscious, how can the Alexander Technique help that?
Well, the way the Alexander Technique can help is to allow us a sort of a larger range, more flexibility in the nervous system. And we become better observers of how we respond to the idea of sleep. So now if sleep, quality of sleep, or the ability to sleep or stay asleep has become a problem, it actually turns into a bit of a performance. So by becoming more aware of how we can interact with this gotta get sleep stimulus, we can better manage the situation. Now you can actually use your phone hooked up to one of these bracelets to help you sort of track the kind of sleep you've been having. And it's been very popular, I think, recently for people to actually get up and say, oh, yeah, the computer thingy that's connected to my pulse that stays next to my bed told me that I had good sleep, but I feel really bad. You know, so we're living in a kind of cutting edge technological society that's sort of is ready to rob us of our ability to even notice what kind of quality of sleep we had on our own.
Yeah, well, I have not run into that. Well, I don't have a smartphone yet, so okay. I'm probably the last person in America without a smartphone. But in terms of what you said earlier, the technique could certainly help you with how you approach the problem of trouble sleeping, if we want to call it that, or restless sleeping, how you approach that when you identify it. Maybe you could say a word or two about that.
Yeah, well, we can maybe draw a little sketch or do a little story. As we get the average person who is perhaps spending quite a number of days in front of a computer screen, and sort of they're maybe sitting in kind of a fixed posture, and they're responding to the demands of work and using their eyes quite a bit, and so that might create certain qualities of movement or lack of movement in the relationship of their head to the rest of them. And so this might be creating some sort of background or not so background aches and pains in their neck and their shoulders, in the back. And so that person gets up after the hopefully they take breaks while they're doing this work, and they get up and go to the gym. And so they still get this situation where they've been quite static for, oh, I don't know, 8 hours, and they go and run on the treadmill, they sweat it out a bit, and said, yeah, this is what the doctor prescribed in order for me to improve my quality of sleep. So they go home after that and are pretty buggered, tired as anything. And they say, okay, I've taken care of what's called in the industry my sleep hygiene. I've turned my phone off and done calming activity and all that stuff, and I'm still not getting the kind of quality of sleep or amount of sleep where I'm waking up refreshed enough to approach the same process again of going to the office and sitting at the desk and dealing with life. So with the Alexander technique, we're just taking a moment to stop in activity and think about how we're approaching each activity, and thinking about how we can improve our self-observation skills in activity. And so part of this process is actually resting on our back, process that I think there's sections of the your podcast that take people through, if they wish, through a
Constructive rest, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Constructive rest, where you've actually not switched off, but you've changed your relationship to gravity. You've asked for more support. You've asked for things to come back to more of a neutral baseline again. So by doing the constructive rest and perhaps taking lessons in the Alexander technique or going to some teachers also offer group lessons, we're sort of becoming more familiar with how we can improve our sense of movement awareness, how we can build a little bit of pausing, sort of expanding quality into what we do throughout the day. So that by the time we come to a point where it's time to switch off and go to bed, we're not all sort of already sort of buzzing at the edges. So we've allowed for this sense, which kind of brings together all the other senses, our kinesthetic sense, to be alive with us as we're moving through life.
So constructive rest, for our listeners who are not familiar with it, is lying on a firm surface, but could be a carpet, that kind of thing. And there's usually some support under your head, and your knees are elevated, and there are different ways to do that, but there are certainly versions of constructive rest that look an awful lot like lying on your back and sleeping, right? Except, of course, your knees are elevated, but you're basically just lying there, but you are conscious. And certainly with Alexander lessons, you can learn to use that, learn to use being in that situation to make useful changes in yourself and become aware of tension patterns that you can release and that sort of thing. And so you're suggesting that that not only could help you move through the day more effectively, but could also be a great help when it's time to go to bed.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
It's pretty similar. I mean, typically people doing constructive rest are told not to do it on a mattress that's a little too soft to, you know, to get the full effects. But that the basic position is not a lot different from lying on your back going to sleep.
No, it's very similar. And one of the things that you mentioned was that it doesn't look like we're moving in constructive rest, but we're thinking, and actually thought does have movement. So thought is a form of movement,
mm-hmm.
and sensing ourselves in a different relationship to gravity
mm-hmm.
creates different flow of movement. And so if we then go, maybe if we get up, we instill this process and we get up a little bit fresher than when we're back at the office at mm-hmm. the desk relating to the computer, we're a little bit more aware of all the variety of places through the chairs, through the feet, through our hands that we can ask for more ease and more support. And we basically become a little bit more enlivened and become more ready to learn from gravity and from mm-hmm. our thinking mm-hmm. in creating more ease. And the other thing about sleep is that there's been a myth perpetuated for the past few hundred years that the human being needs to get 8 hours of unbroken sleep or else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's been an article written based on kind of a bit of a comprehensive research that actually blows that myth off a little bit.
There's a huge range for people. There are some people who probably do need 8 or even more hours a night.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who can get by on a lot less and quite happily.
Yeah, but if your listeners like to look up an article, it's called "The Myth of the 8 Hours of Sleep."
Right.
It also talks about that it was not perhaps meant to be continuous. So if the person's feeling really tired, if they're a young mother for example, and they're feeling really tired by 7 or 8 o'clock, maybe they can allow themselves to have maybe 3 or 4 hours of sleep, and then maybe get up for 1 or 2 hours and do something for themselves while the babies, you know, had their mm-hmm. feed or something. Mm-hmm. They can have a little bit of time to do something on their own, perhaps, and then get another 3 or 4 hours. So it ends up maybe being still 8 hours.
Right.
It's eight hours, not continuous, and that can still be a good way of getting enough rest for your nervous system and for your muscles and your bones to sort of recharge and
So I suppose you could make an argument that the extra awareness and sensitivity that you get with Alexander lessons or even just using constructive rest will make it more likely that you'll choose sleep patterns based on what you actually need rather than saying, well, I gotta go to bed at 10 and wake up at 6.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting, I had never thought of that before, but partly because I never have trouble sleeping, so I'm really the worst person to talk
you
about
need to
this.
Sell that.
I wish I could bottle it. I am a master sleeper, really, but I could imagine that if you're saying to yourself, "Well, I got to go to bed at a certain time and get up at a certain time," and that doesn't happen to fit where your body really is at that moment, and you're not sensitive to that, then you're going to try to force yourself to sleep when really your body doesn't necessarily need to or want to. That's a really interesting. But, you know, there are people who have trouble just even getting the minimal amount of sleep time in. That is, they have the time, but a lot of that time is spent trying to get to sleep.
Yeah.
So what would be an Alexander technique approach to that? I'm lying in bed. I know I've got to get a few hours sleep for at least a few hours to function well tomorrow. And I can't get to sleep.
Yep.
Maybe all kinds of thoughts are going through my mind, or who knows. What could the Alexander technique offer at that moment?
Well, we work on observing those thoughts. So we can notice those thoughts and we can just observe them and just say, okay, hey, hello thought. Hey, hey, what, you know, one of the things that you can do is you can pick something simple, something that you like doing. For example, if you like tossing a ball, you can notice whether you can, as you're lying there, without actually grabbing a ball and tossing it against the ceiling.
Right.
Imagine that you're playing a bit of a volley with those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think the amazing thing about consciously choosing to stop and notice is that you all of a sudden you become an incredible problem solver, or you sort of wake up your problem solving skills. And depending on your situation, whether, you know, different people at different times in their life need different amounts of sleep and for different reasons. So, you know, finding out where your flexibilities are, whether you can perhaps stay up till one, read a good book, or do some creative activity, or do something quietly and engage in some constructive rest for maybe 5 or 10 minutes and then go back to bed, rather than sort of like lie there and suffer and make all this sort of follow the train of thought that, you're not going to be able to perform well enough tomorrow because you're not asleep right now and you should be asleep. And
right.
a lot of sort of prejudgments that go with that. And,
what I have found is I have some students who have that issue that they say, well, I lie down, but I can't get to sleep. And I know I need the sleep. And I have found that certain types of Alexander directions are pretty useful. In particular, what are called freedom directions. You're familiar with those, right?
Yeah, being free not to sleep.
Yeah, and exactly. and you could approach it as starting out by just saying, well, if you notice that you're having trouble sleeping, you could say, I'm free to have not to be awake right now. And that's certainly, I'm free to do that. And then you could morph into, but you know, I'm also free to let myself go to sleep, or free to allow myself to sleep, or I'm just free to sleep. And it's amazing how something as simple as that can for not everybody, I can't say it's 100%, but a lot of my students have said, you know, I'd be lying in bed, thoughts coming, can't sleep, worried about the fact that I can't sleep, and I'll just say, you know, I'll start by saying, well, of course, I'm free to do that. I'm free to have those worries and all the rest of it, and then, but I'm also free to go to sleep, or I'm free to sleep. And you know, just say that a few times. Don't make a big deal of it. Don't try to make anything happen. And and a lot of them will say the next thing they remember, it's like 6 in the morning, you know. And I wish I could speak more from personal experience in that, but I just, it's so unusual for me not to just disappear when I lie down.
I think what we have to do is invite you over to Australia, and once you get
but
here,
I don't know how to teach it. I mean, I don't know how,
no, but you have to get yourself in a situation where your sleep clock is all messed up.
Oh,
And then
yeah.
you get to use the freedom directions
I
yourself.
probably would. That would probably be true, actually, because jet lag is it can be a big issue for me. But so, I
Right.
mean, that's something that you could anyone listening to this could experiment, even if they've not had Alexander lessons. You could just experiment with that, and there's a lot of information on my website, and actually quite a few podcasts on that very topic that actually go through a little bit some of the, just the nuts and bolts of using directions and freedom directions in particular. But they are pretty powerful, and while I don't know of any way that you could self-direct when you're actually asleep, although I suppose theoretically it's possible, but that time when you're lying there waiting to go to sleep, you're conscious and you can use that. Well, I guess what you're saying is that you could use that consciousness to your benefit.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, I
here
mean,
I
definitely.
am, I can't go to sleep, but I'm certainly present, and I'm present with the fact that I can't go to sleep, so I know I'm here. And I'll accept that by, I'm free to be concerned. I'm free not to, I'm free to worry about it. But now I'm free to go to sleep. And it is kind of astonishing how effective that process can be.
Well, I mean, I've had in a slightly different but related domain, I've had that same practice, that same sort of mindset, I suppose you could call it, in as a parent, is that when a child falls, usually as in Australia, it's like, you're right, you're right, get back up again. And it's like the child is obviously not fine and they're crying, and for them there's been like an accident with gravity.
Right, yeah.
So I read a book that said, well, actually stop, don't do anything for a moment, and go to the child and just express to them in very calm voice what has happened. Oh, did you just fall? And it's just incredible how they can self-soothe. We were talking about maybe 18 months or 2 years. They can self-soothe and become interested in what they were going, their intention right away. And
So
so
it gives
it's
them
all.
a little distance from it,
Well,
right?
exactly, because you haven't said in the moment that they're crying and obviously something hurts,
Right. So
that
you're not denying the reality of their pain.
exactly. Like, it's we don't want anyone to deny the reality of someone when they're actually feeling anxious about the fact that they've been lying there for 2.5 hours.
That's the reality. Yeah, you're
That's
not
the
gonna.
reality, and they're free to feel anxious about that. And once they're okay with that, maybe they can come back to like, oh, and can I let my neck be free as well? And oh, I just realized I tightened and my neck was pretty tight, and can I just be okay with that too? And then come back to noticing that the neck is part of the spine, and maybe I can interrupt a little bit less while I'm trying to go to sleep. Maybe I can just sort of get out of my own way a little bit. And so we're not going against and in the face of the problem, but creating a better situation for how we can solve that problem. And it's a nervous system is a funny thing.
Yes, it
Is that
is.
it'll get used to the freedom directions pretty quickly,
Very quickly, freedom directions, yeah.
and that's good. But then again, it'll go like, "Hey, you can't do that trick. You gotta find some more some more ways of directing."
I haven't found that. I found that
No,
once
oh, that's
people
good.
start using freedom directions in general, and freedom directions certainly, they become much easier and more. It's very easy to use them, and I don't find that they lose their effectiveness by familiarity. But I guess that's my own experience.
Well, I think that's good, but there might be some use in having a three-potted palette of different ways we can approach the same.
The more options you have, the better. Maybe this is a good place to bring this conversation to an end. What do you think?
Yeah, it sounds good.
So my guest today has been Mastena Nazarian, an Alexander Technique teacher in Melbourne, Australia. If anything we've talked about today interests you and you live in the Melbourne area, give her a call. I'll put a link to her website by the interview. I'll also put a link to a site that gives you more information about the Alexander Technique and information on constructive rest, for example, the topic we talked about, and will also enable you to find a teacher anywhere in the world. Mastena. That was wow. Mastena, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Robert Rickover.
Hey, thank you.